Greetings, young authors. My name is Kelton Davis. I'm Regional Superintendent of Schools for Monroe and Randolph Counties. And it has been a crazy year for all of us, but I'm very proud of you for continuing your writing and participating in this year's Young Authors. Normally, we all get together and we celebrate, but as of last spring, we were no longer going in person and meeting each other and having our guest presenters talk to all of you in our workshops and writing workshops. This year, we did not have the changes that we were hoping for to be able to get together again. So putting our heads together with the thanks of our committee and your teachers who support your writing and your young author submissions, we decided we would be posting recognition of everyone's work and selecting some other works to be read. And the original plan was for me to read your stories and post them on our website along with the visuals. But after actually spending some time with one of my favorite voice personalities, radio personalities at WHCO out of Sparta, who runs the People Speak show, which I get to be on a monthly basis, a gentleman by the name of Jeff Blair, whose voice has just always delighted me. And he is an actual narrator of books. So without further ado, I want to introduce all of you to our young author's speaker this year, Jeff Blair from WHCO. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Kelton, and thank you. I was beginning to wonder who you were talking about there for a minute. But
well, I got to tell you, it's fun to flip because you get to usually interview me, and now it's an opportunity to interview you, again, one of my favorite vocal I'm not even sure what we call you. What are you, Jeff?
There's a number of different terms that are used. Voice personality, voice artist, voice talent. I mean, I just talk. That's what I say.
You get paid to talk, and that's right. That's awesome. Well, you know, a lot of what we deal with young authors, and it's been an incredible time for our kids to be writing. And when a lot of times people write for their adverse based on their life experiences, the adversity or the challenges they have or the things that they love, what's present with them at the time. You have some experience, my understanding is, with young authors. What is that history that you have with us?
Actually, my daughter was involved with it, I guess, three years when she was in junior high, middle school, wherever you're at. It depends, I guess, on what term you use, but she had written several stories.
Well, did you once do writing yourself? Do you do personal writing at all?
I've tried a few times. My problem is finding the time just to sit down and do that. I did work as a journalist for about 12 years for the County Journal newspaper in Randolph County.
So there's different kinds of writings. There's creative writings, mm-hmm. descriptive narratives that people have, fiction, nonfiction. So you're writing nonfiction materials for the newspapers. Mm-hmm. What was some of the challenges you had or interesting things from working in the newspaper field?
Actually, what I usually like to do with that is compare it, because I've also worked in radio news for a number of years. And writing for a newspaper as opposed to writing a news story for a radio. The biggest challenge I had with the newspaper was trying to expound on a story. In the radio, you're more or less looking for a 30-second soundbite. Anything longer than that, you're going to lose your listener. So in newspaper, you've got to take 30-second soundbite and turn it into like a 3-column article. And that was always somewhat of a challenge, is being able to get all the pertinent information and put it in a way that people are going to want to read it.
A lot of times we stress to our students about being very descriptive. It's not that you necessarily need to be flowery, but you put these images in people's minds. Obviously, with the radio, you can't do that because of time limitations. How much latitude do you have in the newspaper? Can you be as descriptive to paint that picture? Because we oftentimes do have photos with the newspaper.
Right. And the photos add a lot to it. When you add a visual to something, I mean, you've been in the education field, know that when you add a visual to something, the learning increases. Just because we're able to see and read, can't think of the word right now that I'm looking for, but anyway, as far as the latitude in it, you don't want a story to get too long that you're going to lose the reader. You don't want it so short that they're going to be saying, what did that mean? I don't understand what happened. What took place? You know, what the story is about.
So you want to have enough detail, but can you get as descriptive with adjectives and things like that to set the stage, or is that not as necessary in the newspapers?
Not so much. I mean, you want to set your stage. You want to have your opening statement, your opening paragraph, as you would say in writing. But, you know, you're more or less just going to tell them, this is what happened, this is what I'm going to tell you about. And then you tell them about it.
Gotcha. So you have to skip to the chase pretty quick. And then give them more description.
Right. As my editor used to always tell me, you know, you don't want to lose the reader before they really get to the meat of the story.
Gotcha. So as an author, you want to paint a picture and people have them in their minds. But I came to find out that you were actually narrating books. And I find that really fascinating because when I read a book or a story, I'm visualizing in my mind. What is that like for you, your visualization as you read?
It depends, you know, on the skill of the author. Some people are, as you said, you see that picture running in your head like a movie, and you're getting that from what the author is portraying in the way he has presented it, his ability to draw you into the story.
So do you have a voice in your head for certain characters? Do you, as you read something, do you hear their voice or do you hear your own voice?
Usually I do. One book in particular that I narrated, the character was a private detective, probably based, he didn't give a time frame, but I would say probably we put it in the 40s or the 50s. And So I immediately, you know, going through my mind, I'm thinking, how would this guy sound? Because I don't want him to sound like me. I mean, a detective back then would probably not sound like me. What is the stereotypical sound? You know, what people used to hearing on TV as far as detectives and that. And it's like, I kind of took that and then kind of made one my own. And a little combination of some different detectives that I have heard over the years.
Can you pull one of those up and maybe you could read a snippet?
Sure. This story was actually being told by the detective, so the voice pretty much persisted throughout this particular book. This was from a book called 1+1. It was written by Johann Wenzel. That's actually how you pronounce the name. He lives in Northern Ireland, as was originally from South Africa, so this was one of my first audiobooks that I did record.
It was getting dark, close on 4 o'clock by the time that Tom McBride returned to the team, now gathered at the open car park. It will not be necessary to come back tomorrow to continue the search of the area. They will, however, leave two of their own team behind just to make sure that nobody goes trampling across the cordoned-off area.
And as I was saying, that voice kind of persisted throughout the story as it was being told from the perspective of the detective. Now, another book I narrated, written by the same author, Mr. Wenzel. During my narration of this book, called Head to the Moon, I actually incorporated a little bit of singing in with it just to try to bring to life the passage rather than just reading the words.
Her favorite song was Galway Bay by Arthur Callahan, and her voice would take on a haunting undertone when she got to
"For the strangers came and tried to teach us their way. They scorned us for being what we are. But they might as well go chasing after moonbeams or light a penny candle from a star."
I would imagine that I am seeing the old wailing banshee lady.
So narrating books sometimes actually includes more than just reading. It also includes a little bit of singing as well. What I'm actually saying, I guess, is when you're narrating anything, whether it be reading something for a group, reading a book that's being recorded as an audiobook, whatever, you don't want to just read the words. Because when we talk, we don't just read words. If I just read words, it would sound something like this, and really no one would get anything from it because they would be so bored listening to me talk like this continuously. But if instead of reading it like this, I add some inflection, change the tempo a little bit, maybe talk a little bit faster once in a while, and then slow down when I'm trying to emphasize a point, you're going to be more likely to absorb what I'm saying. And if you're listening to, let's say, an audiobook, you're going to be able to immerse yourself in it more than you would if I were reading it monotone without any emphasis on words, phrases, and such. Another thing I like to do is to add sound effects, music beds, different things like that in the background of the stories as I'm reading them and recording them. This obviously is for things like audiobooks and that. You wouldn't be able to do that if you were giving a presentation on a stage, but it adds a lot to it, and it helps the listener bring a more vivid picture in their minds of what's going on here if you throw in the sound effect. Let me give a couple of examples here. The first one without the sound effect, the second one with the sound effect. Everyone was standing around waiting for the big event. Suddenly, there was a loud explosion heard in the distance. People started running, trying to figure out what was going on. Now, here is that same passage with a sound effect added. Everyone was standing around waiting for the big event. Suddenly, there was a loud explosion heard in the distance. People started running, trying to figure out what was going on. In addition to adding to the visual effect of the story, it also can wake people up if someone might have halfway dozed off listening to the first part of the story. So again, basically my philosophy is to present the story to where the listener or the reader, if you're writing, and you can do a lot with words as well, but present it to where it's going to capture their attention and hold that attention for a period of time. So when I'm narrating an audiobook especially, I like to read over it before I start recording and kind of get an idea in my head what I think this person who is talking in this particular section would sound like and how it would sound if they were having a conversation. Basically, I guess you could say that it's acting. You're acting out the parts. You're not on screen or on stage, but you're still acting. Here's another example where I was using more of a period-sounding voice. This was based in the late 1800s aboard a steamboat along the Mississippi, and I also incorporated some sound effects as well to kind of help bring the story to life.
The young deckhand was already stripped down and cut the water in a shallow dive like an otter. He came up, took several deep breaths, then submerged. He was down for a minute, then came up and yelled, "Yeah, the Afton! I went down to her bow and read her name! Want me to go down and look around some?" "Go ahead." Caleb's face was a mask of cold anger that Harvey knew must mirror his own. In back of him, the boat's wheel churned the thick Missouri water, throwing up a frothy spume that mantled the wake and threw up a bright rainbow against the afternoon sun.
So Jeff, in that passage that you read, you took on a voice that was of a certain time period, and the way people talked and your inflections were different and your patter, how you spoke was different. And that brought the story alive. What about people from like other countries?
I've always had a passion for that as well. I used to listen to TV programs, some that were originally aired on the BBC, British Broadcasting, and that. And, you know, so you have the English or the UK style accent, Irish. My ancestry is Irish, so I've always been kind of fascinated with the Irish brogue, Scottish, which is kind of the same general.
Sort of in the family.
Right.
Same family,
right.
Language.
But they all have a little bit different dialect to them. We'll just use the Irish brogue here as an example in this passage. It is said that the Irish giant Finn McCool was so angry at his Scottish giants, his enemies, that he built a whole causeway from Ulster across the sea to Scotland, just so he could battle them. One day he shouted a challenge to the Scottish giant Benadonner to cross the causeway and fight him, but as soon as he saw the Scot getting closer and closer on the causeway, He realized Ben Adonner was much, much bigger than he had imagined. He ran home to the Fort Allen in County Kildare and told his wife, Ona, he'd picked a fight, but had since changed his mind. I think I had mentioned to you once, too, growing up, I loved watching voice impersonator, I guess was the actual term, Rich Little. It was just fascinated me how he could sound like so many different people. And I would sit there and try to emulate what he was saying. Sometimes successful, sometimes not so much. But that, I think, was part of a kind of the beginnings of getting me into how I present things when I read them, you know, and looking at it from different points of view. One of the first voices that I started working on that Rich Little is well known for was former President Ronald Reagan. I actually heard Rich Little one time say that he went to an event at the White House he'd been invited to by the president. And when he got there, President Reagan was giving a press conference and he told him, "Rich, you do me better than I do myself. So you take over this press conference." And apparently he did so. And I said my first one was Ronald Reagan. I guess actually before that was former President Jimmy Carter, who was president from 1976 to 1980. "Thank you. Thank you very much. I was president. I enjoyed my time in office. It was a nice break from the peanut farm." And I mentioned Rich Little, and I got to thinking, okay, he impersonates everybody else's voice, but someone needs to impersonate his. So I actually started working on that and kind of come up with something similar to this.
"Well, Rich Little was a nice guy. He was good. He was an excellent actor. Always good entertainment when Rich Little was on the stage."
So basically, I guess what I'm saying is you do what it takes to bring words on a page to life, whether it be using a different voice, whether it be using sound effects, whether it be impersonating a public figure that everyone's heard, as long as you can at least make it halfway sound like them. So it's a lot of fun, but sometimes a lot of work.
So Jeff, a lot of your stories, and you've got these different voices, and so the author has not only made it alive with their language, you make it even more alive. It's like you're a film for the ears, really. I've also noticed when you do commercials, I've heard all your commercials on the radio, your voice is different for different things. Could you give us an example of how you just change? Not that you sound like somebody completely different, but you don't, "Welcome to McDonald's, we have a sale today," and depressed.
Right. What I do is I look at what, in a commercial aspect, what it's selling, how enthused people are going to be about buying, like automotive commercials. I've always enjoyed doing those because those are the ones you don't want to overdo it, but yet you want some excitement to it. You want to get them excited about this car, or this is the place to go to find your car. Like you said, if you just said, "Get a 2021 Hyundai for $4,995 at ABC Auto Sales," it really doesn't enthuse anyone. But "Looking to buy a new car? Check out ABC Auto Sales. You'll find the best deals around."
Wow. I mean, all of a sudden you threw me into a whole nother world. I got really excited. I'm like, oh, that was awesome. So it's not even just, I mean, the words are critical. You change the words there to make it more exciting. Mm-hmm. So the writing is important, but reading your writing is equally important to bring it alive.
Right. One of my pet peeves, I guess I could call it, that I've always had, I have read at different places at different times, you know, as far as in front of a group, listening to other people, you have to kind of feel more like you're telling a story rather than reading something to them. If someone's reading something to me, I'm probably going to catch about the first couple minutes, and after that, what they say? You know, you've got to bring it alive. You've got to give some meaning to it. Like I said, like you're telling them the story. This is what you've got. This is information you have, and you want them to know about this. And you're not just reading this from a page.
Well, I have a special treat for some of our select young authors. We want to recognize all of you, and we are. But we have the opportunity to have our vocal personality, Jeff Blair, who professionally reads books and novels for electronic publication, is going to be reading for us some of our select works. And you're going to be able to hear Jeff's inflections, his accents, whatever is appropriate for that story. So as you read these stories to yourself, which I would encourage you, try reading them and building those inflections how you see it and feel it. And then we can compare how you do with the professional. Jeff, thank you so much for being our presenter for Young Authors this year. And we want to especially thank you for really a significant amount of time that you're giving in reading all of our wonderful works by our students.
Well, thank you, Kelton. And I look forward to reading all these wonderful stories that have been written by our area school children.